You see, I get up every morning and say, God, what adventure do you have for me today? You see, we got here this morning, and with all this technology that we have here, some of it didn't work. And we were sitting here wondering, why wasn't the TVs working? Why? How are we going to preach without the monitors? But you know what? Sometimes we just got to do without electronics. And it was simply of reversing the plug. But God had to remind us. God had to remind us that he is in control. No matter what we say, no matter what we do and what we want to do, he is in control. I want to say good morning to you. And I want to start off by asking you just one question, actually two. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Okay, here's the question. Have you ever used or heard one of these falsehoods? The check is in the mail. Y'all ain't never used that one. How about, I'll start my diet tomorrow. We service what we sell. Give me your number and the doctor will call you right back. Your money is cheerfully refunded. How about one size fits all? This offer is limited to the first 100 people who call in. Listen, your luggage is not lost. It's only misplaced. How about this one? Leave your resume and we'll keep it on file. Okay, for all you parents in the house, I know you've never said this one. It says, this hurts me more than it hurts you. I still feel them Hot Wheel tracks. How about this one? I just need 5 minutes of your time. Ever been into a restaurant and they say, your table will be ready in 5 minutes? How about the dentist office says, open wide, it won't hurt a bit. One of my favorites is when I was working at AT&T was, you know, it's really not the money, it's the principle. But here's my favorite, after waiting on hold for 40 minutes, as that recording keeps saying, your call is important to us. If your call is so important, if my call is so important, why are you waiting 45 minutes to answer the phone? You know, today's political correct world, we call these things falsehoods. And so I went and looked at Webster's Dictionary to define it. And Webster's Dictionary defined falsehoods as a lie. So a falsehood is a lie that is being told. Today I want to talk to you about some lies that Satan tells. I didn't write that. I didn't write that. Go look it up. It is definitely in the dictionary. In Genesis 3, listen, back on track. In Genesis 3, we family here, we act up all the time, don't pass no mind. Listen, in Genesis 3, we're confronted with a close encounter of the third kind. It's not an encounter with the living God, but rather with Satan, the God of this world, the God who rules the new age with the same old lies. Up until the 1960s, Satan staged a frontal assault on the truth. He emphasized a scientific atheism, which is making a comeback. But you see, the problem was that Satan always fought the church from a distance. He would send his demons in. But see, the problem is today that Satan is fighting the church toe to toe. He's right up in your face, telling you everything that you want to hear. But see, the problem is that Satan knows the Bible better than you do. And he's full of lies. You see, think about this story for a moment that was told for centuries. The Greeks had laid a siege to the city of Troy for 10 years with no success. So they built a large wooden horse that appeared to, and they just appeared to sail away. They left the horse there. And those in the city of Troy got to thinking, you know, that's a nice gift. That thing would look nice in our square. It looks nice. It looked really good, you know. We can put some flowers around it. And you see, the Trojans were curious and ignored the warnings to beware of the Greeks. So what do you think happened? The Trojans rolled the horse into the center of the city. Yeah, we got a nice gift they left us. And they set it right there for everybody to admire. But to their surprise, in the midnight hour, oh, y'all know about the midnight hour. In the midnight hour, much to their surprise, a hidden door opened and out came the opposing army. They were hiding inside the horse. They never sailed away. And you see what the result was, because they had dropped their guard, the city was captured, the people massacred, the city was burnt. Listen, this is a warning to all believers and non-believers. Beware of the God of the New Age peddling the old lies. Beware. You see, today's message is simply titled, Same Lies, Just a New Day. Our scripture is taken from Genesis, the third chapter, verses 1 through 5.
Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.
The lies. Same old lies, just a new day. Today I want to talk to you, and I want to focus on the five lies that Satan told in the beginning that is still being told today. The problem is that he has changed his tactics. He no longer only at war with church from a distance. He is now standing toe-to-toe with the believers right inside the church. Amen. Remember the old TV series, Warning, Will Robinson?
Yeah.
Yeah, y'all remember that. Yeah. Well, maybe one of y'all don't. Warning, Will Robinson. Just like God the Father can use anyone he wants to obtain the plan he has, so can the evil one. And he will use the weakest link closest to you to break you. And guess what? He will even use you against yourself. Listen, let's talk about the five lies that Satan loves to tell. And he's been telling them forever. Lie number one. You can't really trust the God of the Bible. His character is suspicious. He is unfair. He wants to make the rules and give moral commands and restrict many of your freedoms and privileges. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You know what? God is so unfair. Mm-hmm. He is at best an ignorant and at worst dishonest God. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When Eve stated simply, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, at least you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Therefore, God is either ignorant or has no idea what he's talking about, or he's a liar. He's selfish. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. God doesn't want to share his privileges and wisdom and deity with you. He is selfish and wants to keep it all for himself. Y'all got quiet and y'all got looks on them faces. But you know, this is what Satan does to you. He looks at you and because we are human and we want more and more and more, he's just going to feed you and feed you and feed you the things that you want to hear. But see, if you take a moment and you turn your Bibles to Genesis 2, verses 15 and 17, it tells you exactly what God said to Adam and Eve.
Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die.
That's not quite what God said, but that's not what the story was told to us. God just wanted to keep all his powers to himself. Mm-hmm. I know. Look, I know. We can get into a big discussion and break this down even further, but the time just won't allow it. Not today, anyway. Mm-hmm. So just take my word for it. Every one of y'all should be saying, what? Because y'all know what I tell you. Don't take my word for it. Frances ain't been around here for a little while. She know that one because I was saying it way back in the day, wasn't I? Read it for yourself.
That's it, man.
And if you read it and you don't understand it, then call somebody and say, let's talk about this for a moment. Now, I want you to know, make sure you call somebody that knows. Don't be calling somebody that might make something up for you because they want to make themselves sound good. Be careful of whose table you eat at. Okay, so here's the second lie. You can't really trust the Bible either. If you can't trust the God who claims to have written the Bible, then how can you trust the Bible? There are so many uncertainties in the Bible. Has God really said? Is it all that matters of an opinion? It's all a matter of interpretation. Then there are so many contradictions in the Bible. God says you will surely die, and Satan says you will not die. Who can you trust? Look, here's what John 10 and 10 states these words.
The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Satan and his demons want you to believe that you can't really trust the Bible because of its higher criticism and liberal theology. The Bible may contain the word of God somewhere, But the Bible isn't the Word of God. We must first demythicize it. Ooh, that's a big word. Demythicize it. Take the supernatural out of it and reconstruct it so that we can understand it. Look, I'm just saying, you know. I'm just walking through it. You can't really trust the Bible because the neo-orthodox theology, the Bible may come, well, the Bible may come from the Word of God, but the Bible isn't always the Word of God. Has God really said? Listen, I want to repeat something that I've told you over the years. And this is, y'all remember E.F. Hutton? And when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Listen, you either believe all the scripture or you believe none of it. You can't pick and choose what you're going to believe. All of it or none of it. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us,
all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
It says all scripture, not some of it. It says all scripture. Now listen, if you've believed these two lies, I don't want to tell you this, but your spirit is already critically wounded. And that means the next three lies are going to kill you. So are you ready for lie number three?
Yes.
Lie number three. There's no such thing as eternal death, final judgment, and hell. Well, y'all got some strange looks on your face. Hey, these are the lies that are being told. Satan wants you to believe that regardless of what God of the Bible says, since you can't trust God or his book anyway, you will not surely die. Haven't you ever heard of universalism? Everyone will be okay in the end because love wins. A loving God would never judge anybody or send anyone to hell forever. Haven't you heard of reincarnation? There are plenty of chances to overcome bad karma. God is the God of endless chances, not last chances. Haven't you ever heard of those near-death experiences? What about those feelings of love, peace, joy, and a great light at the end of the tunnel? So forget the sinfulness of man, the holiness of God, and the atonement of Christ. Relax. There's no eternal death. There's no final judgment. And there's no hell. Listen, Satan can surely help you twist the word of God. And here's what John 3:16 through 21 says about non-believers.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God.
Listen. It is for you to decide this day whom you will serve. You see, I can't decide for you. Your grandma or grandpa can't decide for you. And you know what? Don't even bother looking at your parents. They can't save you either. Only by accepting Christ into your life and submitting to his will can you be saved. I don't care what nobody says. Read it for yourself. So here's line number four. You can be God. Listen, you have the divine nature and life within you. You have just been ignorant for so long. You see, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Haven't you ever heard of pantheism? Haven't you ever heard of transcendentalism? All these big words. Them big words. You see, in the New Age, all is one and all is God. I am God. Y'all got that? Y'all got that? Y'all got that? Listen, let me tell you something. It's wrong. Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, reads this way.
Now see that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Nor is there any who can deliver from my hand.
And there is no God beside me. Remember what I said earlier? You either believe all of the Bible or you believe none of it. You can't straddle the fence and say, well, I'll believe this part and I'll believe that part. It's all or nothing, folks. Listen, choose you this day because tomorrow may be too late. You see, Satan can twist some words and make it sound good. Okay, here's line number five. There is secret occult knowledge available to you superior to the Bible. Haven't you heard of Gnosticism? Secret occult knowledge. Your eyes will be open, knowing good and evil, desirable to make one wise. Then the eyes of both of them were opened. Haven't you heard of fortune telling, astrology, witchcraft, seances, crystals? You name it, it's there. You can have secret knowledge superior to the Bible. Mm-hmm. I just got to shake my head. Listen, can I share something with you? This past Tuesday in our Bible study, the fundamentals of the word, one of our members, Carolina, had some questions about her readings in the book of Jude. And as the class learned that night, the writer of the book of Jude, which, by the way, is an epistle or letter, mm-hmm. Little knowledge there, secret knowledge, written by the half-brother of Jesus. In it, he warns the believers that there are many false teachers among them. During this time, one of the biggest things the believers were facing was Gnosticism. In short, these false teachers were adding two axioms to their teachings.
Yes.
The first axiom was the doctrine of supreme knowledge. This means that only certain spiritual ones have the special knowledge of truth.
Yeah.
Ordinary Christians, that's y'all and me, ordinary Christians do not, nor could you, possess this secret of higher knowledge. Axiom number two. They taught that there is separation of spirit and matter. They believe that all matter is considered to be evil, and the source of it all is evil also. They said that the spirit was considered to be good and impervious to defilement by anything the body did. Listen, beware of the false teachers.
Yes.
Read the word for yourself. Know the word for yourself. I tell you continually, study the word of God for yourself.
Yes, sir.
Before somebody out there serves you some Kool-Aid. Listen, Satan knows your favorite flavor of Kool-Aid.
Yes.
He knows your favorite flavor of cake.
Yeah.
He knows your favorite anything.
Yeah.
And he will use it to his advantage to throw you off track.
Yeah.
Know the word for yourself. Listen to me. If you are sitting under somebody's teaching and your spirit is jumping like a jumping bean, get up and leave. Don't walk to the nearest exit.
Run
to the nearest exit. Listen to your spirit. The spirit. The word that is within you will tell you. I encourage every one of you, every time that I'm speaking, to write down the scriptures I'm using. Mm-hmm. You don't have to write down word for word what I'm saying, but write down the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Go home, read them for yourself.
Right.
Highlight them. Get an understanding of them. And if I'm what I'm saying does not match, let's come on back and let's talk about it.
There you go, man. Just like that.
Okay? Don't take my word for it. Don't take anybody's word for it but God's. He is the author and the finisher of all things.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah.
Trust
that. Hallelujah. So you might be asking, do people really believe these lies? The answer is yeah, all the time. Listen, look at Adam and Eve. And the consequences that they suffered were devastating. Devastating. It didn't only affect them, it affected us too. The only effective response to Satan's lies is God's truth. The God of the Bible is the only true God and true trustworthy. Listen. If you don't get anything else out of today's message, remember this. Write it down. Secret knowledge is that which Satan provides. And it will kill you. But one thing's for sure, certain knowledge is that which God provides, and Jesus Christ will save you. Jesus Christ will save you. Father, we just honor you and praise you today. We glorify you. We thank you for allowing us to walk through the text, Lord God, seeing that it's the same old lies. It's just a new day, Lord God. So, Father, help us bury your word within us, Lord God. As we study your word, give us clear understanding that we may pertain the knowledge that you want for us, Lord God. We know your word says that your people die because of the lack of knowledge, Lord God. The knowledge that you've already given us, Lord God, that we just won't take the time to understand, Lord God. So, Father, help us. Lead us and guide us, Lord God, down the paths you would have us to go, Lord. And to